You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bache, host of The Entrepreneurs. Nick Robinson is the co-founder of Good Citizens, a Sydney-based sunglasses company he started with his two young sons, Harry and Archie. The boys had been learning about the impact of plastic pollution on the planet at school and asked their dad if there was anything they could do to help. The brand was born with a simple mission to untrash the planet and is now selling some great-looking frames, each made from one recycled plastic bottle. After some research and prototyping, the brand launched a year ago with both a square or round frame in ocean blue, dark brown, or lemonade hues. They have a smart modular design where you can easily make a repair or change up the look, meaning your sunnies will last even longer. To date, the brand has been a huge success. They won a Best in Class Impact Award at the International Good Design Awards and have addressed the United Nations. Good Citizens was even given a window next to Prada at Selfridges here in London for 3 months. Not bad for a brand thought up around the kitchen table by a father and his two young sons, now 8 and 10 years old. Here's Nick now to walk us through the story of Good Citizens.
Yeah, look, my kids at the time were 6 and 7. They thought the world was broken. They learned at school about the animals and the oceans and the plastic problem. And they came home and they were sad. And I think as a parent, you kind of listen to it and kind of just shrug a bit at dinner. But it kind of turned, here we are 3 years on, into a business. So the kids kind of really did start this journey for me.
That's really encouraging to hear because, you know, the kids are quite young. And if they're already learning in school about the damage we're doing to our planet, that has to bode well for them growing up and to teach you, to get you engaged as well. So talk to me a little bit about how you started thinking about what you could do and how that turned into sunglasses.
Well, you kind of sit there with your kids and you get the pen and paper out and you scribble. And I said, look, kids, you know, yeah, there is a problem, but I don't think we can fix it. And they're like, no, Dad. You know, 6 and 7 year old, Dad, you can fix it. You're a superhero. But obviously all the adults listening to this know that Dad isn't a superhero. But we sat there and we kind of looked at the problem. And I said, look, every kind of business should solve a problem. And they said, well, our problem's plastic bottles, Dad, because, you know, they've been on YouTube and there's 1 million sold a minute and they kind of knew their facts. So we sat there and we wrote, the problem to solve is plastic bottles. What can we do with the bottle? And there's so much greenwashing with people saying things that are basically not true. So we said, right, let's be really, really honest and transparent and let's turn this 600 mil plastic bottle into something useful. And we found sunglasses because they weighed the same. And that is essentially it.
So Australia sunglasses seems like a natural fit. There are a lot of brands out there, of course. So talk to me a little bit about the actual research and production and where you thought you could make a dent in this category.
Yeah, I mean, naivety is a great thing. And I think it's a really great thing to fuel the business idea, because if you knew everything before you set off, you'd never actually start the journey. But I took some time out from my full-time job and my wife and I agreed it was kind of an interesting idea. 4 months of research. And then we agreed we'd put $20,000 into doing some design. And as we progressed in each little part, we kind of got more scared, but realized the fear is basically, it was driving us to keep going. It's a really strange feeling, but I quit my job. This was 2018. And then we spent 9 months prototyping and designing. And then we entered the trial and terror, we called it. And it took 752 days to turn a bottle into a pair of glasses. And that's the frames and the hinge, because everything except the lenses, we've got these beautiful polarized lenses, had to be made of a bottle. But 752 days, and we've lost count, but we got to 2,500 failed attempts. And I'd cried 5 times just from sheer exhaustion, because you come home and you're like, oh, it's not going to work. And these little set of eyes look at you and go, are we going to fix the world, Dad? And so there's been tremendous challenges, but we've got there, and the first pair was 752 days, and now we can kind of make a pair of eyewear frames every 3 minutes, and we make them in Sydney. And you know, our purpose is to untrash the planet of single-use plastic, and that drives us. And that's the thing that drives me. It's the thing that drives the kids. It's the things that attract the people, the brands, the partners that want to be involved, the research people. It's very, very simple. You know, when you've got kids on board, everything has to be simple, and we just agreed what we do and what we're always going to do, and every decision that is put through the business, if it untrashes the planet, that's a good thing. If it adds to the trash, pens down, let's stop.
Well, I imagine your kids do think you are a bit of a superhero at this stage. Walk us through the actual process, Nick, of breaking down the plastic bottles and turning those into sunglasses.
Yeah, look, it's really interesting. We had a film crew come and make a bit of a documentary on us, and that was just mind-blowing to have someone. You're very isolated when you're on your own, but for someone to come along, and the director said, this is like making a craft beer, because you take the bottle, you break it down. You break it down into like cornflakes, and then you have to put it through a special process, and there's only two machines in Australia that can do that. And those kind of pellets in a kind of crystallized state that then get driven to our factory, and then we do something to those pellets, which is our kind of intellectual property. And this is the thing that took the 752 days. But you put them through a special process. We own a special machine that's inside an injection molding setup, and we then injection mold the arms, the clips, and the frame fronts. It's about 38 seconds to make a frame front, 12 seconds to make a set of clips, and 22 seconds to make the arms. And then they cool very quickly. You snip them with some little snippers and you put them together and you pop your lenses in. So we can make a pair of eyewear frames in 90 seconds. There's no post-tumbling, there's no post-finishing. It's very, very simple. The logo is embossed into the frame. It's very, very minimal. There are only 5 parts. Most traditional eyewear frames maybe have plus 20 parts. And we pick 5 because our good citizens can fix them themselves. It's very easy to fix them. It's like Lego. And it was great having the kids on board, because I'd come home with a box of bits. And if they couldn't build the glasses, it meant I'd failed. So they were really, really integral. But it means that any consumer around the world, if they break an arm, they email us, we make them a new arm, we send it out in the post, and they fix it in seconds. So it just all adds to the untrashing the planet.
Yeah, and we'll point people to your website where you can see the different shape a plastic bottle goes through, the different stages, we should say, in breaking down to the pellets to the finished product. And it's interesting you have created something without metal or without screws. So you've kind of created a modular frame where you can change out the colors, change out the little clips that hold the arms on. That's really interesting. Where did the idea to sort of make these sort of a simple piece come in the journey?
You look at how traditionally eyewear frames are made, and there's like 100 hours, there's 100 set of hands. It's quite a beautiful artisan process, but when it's done en masse, there's lots of energy used. And so we decided we would keep it really, really very simple. And to be honest, the brief was one bottle, one pair. And so we couldn't do a traditional hinge. And we also wanted, it's quite interesting, as a kid, I'm working with two little kids now, but when I was a kid, I would drive around the Lake District in the United Kingdom with my granddad in his camper van, and we'd see a VW van drive towards us. And as a family, we'd wave. And if we got a wave back, there'd be this little moment of joy in the camper van. And I said to the kids, wouldn't it be nice if a good citizen, you could see them from 30 or 40 meters away because of the little stripe, which is our clip and our hinge. So it's our visual signifier. And if they walked towards you and you caught each other's eye, you'd have a little moment of joy. And every citizen that's bought a pair of glasses is issued a citizenship number. So Hugh Morris in Australia bought the first pair. And people email us saying, I was on a walk and I bumped into citizen number 650. And it's this lovely kind of community. But that hinge, not only is it made of a bottle, but it's the thing that sets us apart. And yes, it's interchangeable. And yes, you can buy a clip kit, which means you've got 5 looks in one. And it's kind of just having fun with recycled plastic.
And really helps you tell that story of the one bottle, one pair of frames, which is great as well. I'm sure there's a bit of Australian pride in the brand as well. But talk to us a little bit about the business side. You are able to create these pieces. How did you get them out there, and how did you decide to go about the business model? Was it direct to consumer? Was that your idea from the beginning, or did you look for retail partners? Tell us about that.
I mean, you know, there's traditional wholesale models, and you have to appreciate that obviously my kids have never set up a wholesale direct-to-consumer business. Neither have I. My background is not industrial design or product design. I've done a lot of branding work, but we started with, you know, the costs, and we could get them made in other countries where the costs would be a quarter of what we make them for now, but we didn't have the transparency on the process. And it's something quite nice. We understood that part of our story to market this is the kind of struggles. You know, we have broken the family suspension on the car. We've been to the fixers 53 times. It weighs 0.5 ton. All these are the things, these little stories that we were starting to launch and seed out, and this kind of epic journey of this two little kids and a dad. So yeah, getting the brand out there is, to be honest, you know, people listening to this that have built their own business, you're so focused on actually making the product. The day that you go live, you're like, I'm knackered. Like, how are we going to do this? But we were quite fortunate, you know, the Australian media, the news kind of cottoned on that there was this crazy family doing this crazy thing. And we kind of launched and COVID hit. And we had no choice to go direct to consumer because shops were closed around the world. Department store Selfridges had approached us and we were being stocked in there. And then they kind of said, look, we want to give you a window next to Prada for 3 months. We change our windows every kind of quarter. Would you be interested in a window? And of course, that's a kind of sit down, pinch me moment, but we didn't have money, but they supported us. And we had a window next to Prada for 3 months. And we kind of thought, that's it, we've hit the jackpot. But sadly, COVID hit. And Oxford Street, London was very quiet. Selfridges was closed for the part of the time we were in there. But it kind of fueled the story to say, here's a couple of kids, a dad that's broke the car suspension. You know, they've now launched this brand. After 3 months, they've been picked up by Selfridges. I was very open and honest to say afterwards that I only had a prototype. I didn't even have a business when I kind of accepted that deal with Selfridges. But it's this kind of journey and story that the media in Australia kind of picked up on it. And people just wanted to feel good about doing something. The world was in a mess. And I think COVID set the conversation of plastic back somewhat because everyone was trying to save humanity. But people just wanted to feel they're kind of doing the right thing. And that's what the brand kind of stands for.
Incredible story. And great that you got the support of a big retailer like Selfridges to help you along the way. Talk to me a little bit about what the plan is now. Obviously, you've just turned a year old having this in the world. It's taken 3 years to get going. But where do you take it from here? Obviously, this has been a great education tool for your kids. But what are the conversations these days about what you want to do with the brand?
Yeah, look, I think we're very clear on the purpose, which is untrash the planet. Essentially, we have a little sign in the office. It just says trash in, good out. So as a brand, we want to continue to take trash and turn it into good. And kind of someone said the other day, it's wizardry, you know, a bottle into something that you could never think possible. So we just want to focus right now on eyewear. We have been approached by various people and organizations, and they kind of want to stretch you and they want you to kind of become part of their narrative. But I think it's important right now that we stick to what we're doing and we continue learning. To make something 100% recycled is extremely difficult. And now we're scaling. And the scaling plan has been written down on a piece of paper in the pizza restaurant. It's with the kids again. So for us, the immediate future is scaling, meeting demand, and we're creating more styles. But we're not a fast fashion brand, so we're not creating styles that are just to hit the high street for this season. We're using the classic styles that people can wear 10, 15 years from now. Because after all, a plastic bottle does last, I think, 500 years before it decomposes. So one would hope that our glasses will last that long. Yeah, we have plans, but we're just focusing. We've learned to kind of stop distracting ourselves and purely focus on eyewear.
Very good. And I imagine your kids being able to talk about this at school or with their friends is the ultimate marketing tool for people looking at the brand. How has the reaction from your kids been and how much are they learning about everything, including business?
Oh, look, we had a conversation about VAT. It's called GST in Australia. It's quite funny listening to your eight-year-old asking at dinner, is today's sales including or excluding VAT and GST? It's been a really interesting story, not to get too deep, but I'm a dad first and foremost, and I've got these two little business partners. And it's interesting because it's COVID hit and we're all around the world homeschooling. My kids learned how to manufacture and dispatch in Shopify, which is really interesting. But then we realized very quickly that they were getting quite anxious because they thought that, you know, if they failed at this little task, then the animals would die. So it's been a really interesting journey to work with them as little business partners. But, you know, they are little people. And after all, us adults have a bit of a more formed and sensible brain. So we understand the highs and lows. So yeah, the kids are heavily involved and they love the business side of it. And just recently, they just got the first check out of the business and they went to the local kind of gaming store and bought themselves a PlayStation. There was a big debate in the family, but how can you argue with two little kids to say it's our business too and we've earned this money? So it's pretty funny.
That's fantastic. Nick, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to catching up with you again and hearing more about how the business is going. But for now, thank you so much for this.
Thank you for your time. Enjoy the sun in London.
Nick Robinson of Good Citizens, which he co-founded with his sons, Harry and Archie. My thanks to Nick for sharing his story and to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening and goodbye.